Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone. Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to the Red Zone here on KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday afternoon as we take you through the next hour, get you caught up with what is going on in the world of Kansas City Chiefs football. We're going to talk later on with Chief Safety Donald Washington, second-year player, getting more and more snaps in the Chiefs secondary as he is playing a bigger and bigger role on defense. We'll talk to the former Ohio State Buckeye later on, get his thoughts about the defense in general, the playoff race that the Chiefs find themselves not really in, but driving the bus for. We'll talk about that Raider rivalry with Donald Washington. That coming up a little bit later on. Roxy Bernstein is going to join us in our next segment. Get a preview of the Oakland Raiders, the resurgent Oakland Raiders at 2-4. Some folks I talked to were discussing whether or not Tom Cable was going to be let go as the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. Now, after two monster wins, Tom Cable and the Oakland Raiders, one of the hotter teams in football. The Chiefs will visit there this coming Sunday after they laid a beatdown on the Denver Broncos and another beatdown on the Seattle Seahawks. The red-hot Oakland Raiders up next for the Chiefs, now sitting at 4-4. Game and a half back in the standings, two games back in the loss column, but still holding their own destiny in their hands. Yes, they do. Even with the Chiefs at 5-2, Raiders just two games back in the loss column, which means that they could win both games against the Chiefs and then match the win total in all the other games, finish with the same record as the Kansas City Chiefs and win the tiebreaker head-to-head. So they do still own their own destiny in the AFC West. Very, very important football game for the Kansas City Chiefs this coming weekend in Oakland. It's a very important game. I don't know that it'd be any more important, but probably more critical for the Chiefs had they not been able to get a 13-10 win in overtime over the Buffalo Bills. I don't think it'd be any more important because it's a divisional game. They would only be a half game in front of the Raiders and one game in the loss column, but still, the Raiders would control their own destiny. The Chiefs would control their own destiny. But certainly at 4-3, the Chiefs look a lot different playoff-wise headed out on the road. I'm going to point something else out. This Raider game is the first game of a seven-game stretch where the Chiefs will play 5 out of 7. One of the things we do every year here on the Red Zone, and you might remember it. If not, if you're new to the Red Zone, you can always check us out on the podcast or the archives for any of the Red Zones you missed. But one of the things we do in the offseason, as soon as the schedule comes out, we examine and evaluate the schedule. Todd Haley likes to break it down by quarters. And when you break the schedule down by quarters, this doesn't jump out at you. And Todd Haley does it, obviously, to try to give his team a focus on a section of the season. He explained it and equated it to, you know, breaking down different jobs. I drew a golf course and trying to play 18, that you break it down. And if you have one bad game, you get a loss. Don't panic if you can make up for it. But understand the urgency. If you can go 3-1 in every quarter, he says, in the end, you're probably going to be a playoff team. Yes, 12-4. Every team that's been 12-4 in the 16-game schedule has been a playoff team. So he's absolutely right. But one of the things hidden in amongst those quarters and the 16 games is that right now the Chiefs go out on the road and begin what will be a seven-game stretch where 5 of the 7 games they play will be on the road. Yes, 5 of 7 on the road. So if you look at it by quarters, it doesn't jump out at you because you break it down, you stop at the fourth game. But when you look at it in total, right now the Chiefs headed out at Oakland, at Denver, home for the Arizona Cardinals, at Seattle, home for Denver, at San Diego, and at St. Louis. I'll point out, not only is it 5 out of 7 on the road right now, it's going west on every one of these trips until the final one, which is a trip across the state of Missouri to take on the Rams. To Oakland, then home. To Denver, not that bad, then home. Home for Arizona, then on the road, fly all the way to Seattle, come home for Denver, then all the way out to San Diego, home, and then at St. Louis. It's a very difficult stretch. Right now, through the first 7 games, the Chiefs have played 4 games at home and 3 on the road. They're 4-0 at home. They're 1-2 on the road. All right. Now they're going to head out on a stretch that's going to take them out on the road 5 times in 7 games. what's realistic to think on what they do after that? Even if they take both home games, you've still got the other five road games. If you can go 2-3 in those five, that's 4-3. You come home with a 9-5 record for the final two games of the year versus the Titans and Raiders. The Chiefs begin a critical juncture for the football team. I think you want to get to 4-3. You got to get to at least 3-4 in these next seven to come home and be sitting at 8-6, which is what we talked about. Most people have this team around 500, probably a little bit below. We talked about this team being around a 500 team, but said, look, the upside is playing up towards 10-6. And that if you can come through that 5 out of 7 on the road, if you can make hay early in the year with your home schedule and come out of that road, somehow find your way out of that road stretch of 5 out of 7 on the road and be putting yourself at 8-6, you come home with two home football games and a chance to get to 10-6, which most years will get you in the playoffs. And we discussed would probably put you in contention for the AFC West. That's still looking like a likelihood with the three teams, 4 losses for the Raiders, 5 losses for the Chargers, and 6 for the Broncos. San Diego rattled off 11 wins in a row last year. Highly unlikely they do it again this year for even the 8 games that would be left to finish off the schedule. If you can get to the end of the season with just 6 losses, chances are that's going to be good enough to win the AFC West. I think it's a race to 10-6 based upon what's left with that schedule. We'll talk about the strength of the schedule a little bit later on when we focus on some of the numbers of the game. Chiefs get the win 13-10 over Buffalo. Not the prettiest game. Not the way you want to win. You want to win going away. But a win nonetheless, no matter where you get a win in the NFL is all that matters. There's no top 25. On Monday, it's simply survive and advance. The Chiefs get that win against the Buffalo Bills. We discussed this last week that if you leave the Bills in the game, you could end up in a fight. If you can knock them out early, get up by double digits in the first quarter, maybe they just quit on the game and go home. If you leave them in, you probably end up in a fight the way the Baltimore Ravens were, and that's what exactly what happened to the Chiefs. Heard Todd Haley this week talk about how much he appreciated this game, thought that the game would be very important for the growth of the football team. The fact that they were in a game that was this tough and found a way to win, it would give confidence, plus give them a situation where now, hopefully in later games, more important games, playoff games, if things aren't going your way, you don't just wilt and quit. You keep fighting knowing that, hey, we've been in situations like this, difficult situations, and still found a way to win. Let me go over a couple of the things that made this game difficult and where the Chiefs can learn from it. Number one was the wind. If you're in Arrowhead Stadium, you could see how the ball was being blown around on kickoffs and field goals, on punts, especially on punts where the ball really gets up there in the air, just being blown all over the place. It was a very difficult environment. The Chiefs have an excellent kicking game with Ryan Succop, but really he was negated until you get into close range, and you saw the way his ball got caught by the wind and just pushed right out of the uprights, right past the uprights when he missed on his one field goal. It became a different game because the wind changed what they could do in the kicking game. The wind played havoc with what Dustin Colquitt can do as far as going for coffin corners, and it played havoc as far as how far out you could decide to kick field goals. There were situations in one of the fourth down conversions that the Chiefs went for, situations where Todd Haley chose to go for it on fourth down from the Buffalo 19. I don't think he does that if it's not the kind of wind there was. That, to me, dictated the field goal kickers don't come into play till you get very, very close or you're very, very desperate, like the end of the game, and that's what we saw play out. So the wind was a difficult situation to deal with. Affecting passing, if you can get the wind behind it, not so much. And the wind was a straight cross breeze. So if you threw from, say, the middle of the field where the quarterback would take the snap between the hash marks towards the Buffalo bench, you had a better job of that pass doing what you wanted. But if you threw towards the Chiefs bench, whichever direction you were going, if you can just envision the stadium in your head, if you threw towards the Chiefs bench, it became difficult. I talked to Matt Cassel about that earlier this week, and he said, absolutely. Thrown into the wind, the ball hangs up and then dies. With it behind you, you got a pretty good chance to be an accurate passer. So all the throws away from the Bills bench became more difficult. As a play caller, you've got to understand that. And that handcuffs what you call as far as throwing the football that direction. So you almost become, and at least in your intermediate to deep passing game, one side of the field. And the other team knows that as well. So again, part of the Chiefs offense, handcuffed, and part of the Bills. I'm not minimizing this. This is for both teams. It handcuffed them. And the other thing for the Chiefs, and we've talked about how many turnovers they forced as a football team. Chiefs now plus 5 on the year because of an incredible, incredible limit of only four turnovers, three INTs and one fumble lost by the Chiefs. That's unbelievable. And nine takeaways. They need to take the football away more if they're going to win games. This was a game they actually played plus one football in. So they won the turnover battle. They didn't turn it over once themselves and got only one. And it was an interception towards the end of regulation where really Fitzgerald and the Bills were saying, okay, we'll take a shot at it. If it's there, okay, but if not, it's not going to kill us. So an interception that certainly helped the Kansas City Chiefs, but not one that was great as far as creating great field position either way for the team. But a turnover nonetheless, they get plus one. What's amazing is the Chiefs forced three fumbles from the Buffalo Bills and ended up with none of them, not one. And I've said this many times, if a ball goes on the ground, it's a 50-50 ball. Either team has the potential to come up with the football. Yet the Bills got all three of them. Two they recovered. One looked like was recovered by Mike Vrabel and the Chiefs, but he was out of bounds when he recovered it. That's ruled a dead ball. That's the correct ruling on it. Just bad luck for the Kansas City Chiefs. They forced three fumbles and come up with none of them. That's not going to happen very often. You should get about one and a half of those. So either one or two of those every time you can force three fumbles, plus two more interceptions in the hands of Derek Johnson. Both would have been remarkable interceptions. One would have been a one-hander at the beginning of the game. If he picks that one off, it's a pick six. Chiefs are up 7-0. Maybe they get a chance to take the heart out of the Buffalo Bills and kill them early. The other one coming later in the game where he runs down the field, gets his head around at the last second, sees the ball, throws his hands up, and just unable to come up with the interception. Two more good opportunities for an interception. Very, very seldom do you get one that just hits you between the numbers as a defender. You usually have to make a pretty impressive play to come up with the INT. They don't do it. Five different opportunities, legitimate opportunities, to come away with turnovers. They only force one, but a good sign that there are five more turnover possibilities. Three fumbles on the ground and two interceptions that they got their hands on, potential interceptions they got their hands on. That's a good sign for this defense progressing forward. And three sacks. That's a big part of the equation as well. Tamba Haley, a sack and a half. One for Wallace Gilberry and a half sack for Andy Studebaker. Defensively, they put a lot more pressure on the Buffalo Bills. Struggled early. Seemed to be a lot of confusion on the defensive line, the defensive front seven on the third and longs for the Bills. And the Bills converted too many of those early in the game. Another chance for the Chiefs to take the heart away from the Bills. They could have forced an early three and out. Even after Derek Johnson's missed INT, they had a third and 11, and the Bills completed it pretty easily in the passing game because a lot of disarray on that front seven as to where they were going to line up. Didn't pressure the quarterback. Later, they settled down, got three sacks on the quarterback, pressured Fitzpatrick, and gave their defense a chance to make some plays. Ultimately, they only come away with the one turnover, but the potential was there for five other turnovers in this football game. That's an important stat. If they can keep forcing two near picks and three balls on the ground, they're eventually going to get a lot of footballs and be a lot better in that plus minus. Still good at plus five. Incredible at only turning it over four. Need to take it away more than the nine that they have taken it away. And, of course, the ground game continues to be sick, sick rushing the football of the Chiefs. 274 yards on the ground is a college stat. You're not supposed to put up numbers like that. Go back to the Denver game where they posted over 300 yards at the end of last season on the ground. It just looked like an anomaly. Now the Chiefs, four of their seven games have been over 200 yards rushing. They're averaging over 190 yards per game. That is a ridiculous total. They continue to be one of the best running teams in the history of the NFL. If they keep this up, they will go down as one of the best rushing teams ever in the NFL. Jamaal Charles and Thomas Jones continuing to make a great 1-2 punch for this football team as they ran and ran and ran and ran. And that rushing attack really keeping them in the game. The passing attack netting it in touchdown. Dwayne Bowe, not the huge yardage total that we've seen the last couple of weeks, but again, coming through with the touchdown. Castle to Bowe. Matt Castle, one TD, no INTs, no fumbles. He was sacked three times, which is abnormal, being that he'd been sacked only five times in the first six games. He goes down three times in this game, but ultimately the Chiefs find a way to win. Defense bending but not breaking when they got near field goal range, and ultimately the offense getting enough done to set up a short field goal for Ryan Succop. Chiefs get out of town with the fifth quarter, the end of the fifth quarter, a 13-10 win. That, to me, is what Todd Haley's talking about when he says a win that will be great for this team as it moves forward. Realizing that a lot of things didn't go your way. You got him on the, you got the ball on the ground three times, didn't get it, didn't matter, kept fighting, and ultimately found a way to win. That's what you hope. huge test as they head on the road to take on the Oakland Raiders, the red-hot Oakland Raiders. That is what's next on the schedule. Next on the schedule for us, Roxy Bernstein joins us, our Bay Area insider here at the Red Zone. He's up next.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hi, we're Giacomo and Angelo, and we make Palermo's Pizza.
We actually grew up in a pizzeria where we learned to toss pizza dough by hand.
So you can believe our new hand-tossed-style frozen pizzas offer taste your family will love, guaranteed.
Yep, our pizza's 200% authentic, like us.
200%?
Yeah, 100% times two of us.
Well, obviously, Papa didn't teach you math. Anyway, look for our new hand-tossed-style pizzas and try one.
Palermo's, it's pizzeria perfect.
And the official frozen pizza of the Chiefs.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jamal Charles!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game!
And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime!
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to KCChiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you as we're going to talk about the Oakland Raiders. Big game for the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend as they try to keep things going. And the Raiders, two games back in the loss column, but actually control their destiny, as we pointed out. If they win this game and would sweep the and beat the Chiefs in the final game of the year, they would own the head-to-head tiebreaker. All they'd need to do is finish with the same record with the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of football to be played in between those two games, but just something to keep about in the back of your mind, which I'm sure the Raiders are. Roxy Bernstein is with us. Roxy, first of all, what's the mindset of the Raider fan after these last couple of weeks?
Well, the Raider fan is ecstatic right now, Soren, because they've actually won two games in a row for a change. It had been a long time since the Oakland Raiders had won back-to-back games, and I think what's even better for them is that they've been extremely impressive in doing so. They crushed Denver, put up 59 points, just ran right through them on the ground, and then thoroughly dominated Seattle this past Sunday, put up over 500 yards in total offense. Jason Campbell looked good. So the Raider fan right now is encouraged by what they've seen the last 2 weeks, and this is clearly a different Raider team than people are used to seeing the last few years.
How close, I'll get to Jason Campbell and Darren McFadden here in a minute, but Tom Cable, we had some discussions with some folks that cover the AFC West, and they talked like at 2-4 that if they lost to the Broncos or maybe got blown out by the Broncos, that Tom Cable's job could be in jeopardy. Did you get that sense at that point, and where does it stand right now?
Well, right now he's firmly entrenched after winning the last two games, but there were rumblings about some displeasure about Cable. And look, the guys, they play hard for him, but they've made some mistakes that that you don't want to blame the coach for. But unfortunately, that's the lap it falls into. And Al has been rather quiet this year, believe it or not. We haven't heard much or seen much from Al. He's kind of letting Cable do his thing, and Cable is calling the shots right now. And it's encouraging for the players because they really seem to like to play Seren for Tom Cable. He's a real likable guy. He's one of they consider him almost one of them. And the way they've responded the last few weeks has shown that this team is buying into what Tom Cable is selling right now.
And one of the things they're doing offensively, in fact, they're one of the few teams in the NFL ranked in the top 10 in both offense and defense. Now, that hasn't necessarily turned into, you know, huge, you know, great records. The Chargers have been number one in offense and defense for a couple of weeks, and they've got a losing record. The Raiders are at least at 500 right now. The biggest cog in their offense seems to be Darren McFadden, a guy that they had huge expectations for. They're finally seeing those dividends returned. What is it that finally got Darren McFadden going?
I think he's finally healthy for the most part, Seren. And, you know, for a few years, I think it took him a while to figure out exactly what it means to be an NFL player. And now he's figuring that out. And he's been healthy. And when he wasn't healthy, they lost. And look at the game against San Francisco. They were abysmal in that game against the 49ers. And Jason Campbell had it rough. But McFadden is the guy that makes this offense go. And you know, they run for over 300 yards in the ground combined against Denver. Last week against Seattle, it was a more balanced attack, but he still had his 100-plus yards. And Jason Campbell has been efficient the last 2 weeks, but it's all around Darren McFadden and the Raiders establishing the run. And it's been setting up the pass beautifully for Oakland the last 2 weeks.
All right, how about the passing attack? Who is the quarterback of this football team? Do we know, or is it something that's going to bounce back and forth for the rest of the season?
I think it's something that it's going to bounce back. Even though last week Tom Cable said, as long as he's healthy, Bruce Gradkowski is my starter. And he wasn't healthy on Sunday going in, and Campbell was terrific. In fact, the last 2 weeks, Jason Campbell's thrown for 515 yards and no interceptions. And he's had four touchdowns in the last two games, and he actually got a 100-yard game out of Darius Heyward-Bey. So as of going forward right now, I'm still under the impression that it is Gradkowski if he is healthy. But the way this team has played the last 2 weeks, how do you sit Jason Campbell? And we're not going to know who the starter is for Sunday until later, until the end of the week, I think, to they reevaluate everything.
I mean, do they want Jason Campbell to be the guy after all the talk about him being the next Jim Plunkett and everything? I mean, it seems like
I think Al does.
Yeah.
But it's Cable's call, and he's going to go with who he feels gives him the best chance at win. And now the team has responded the last 2 weeks with Campbell, but the team really has rallied around Gradkowski the last couple of seasons. And he's a different kind of quarterback, as you know, where Campbell is the more prototypical guy. He makes the more conventional plays, but you never know what you're going to get from a guy like Gradkowski who's running around back there and just trying to make plays. I think Campbell eventually will be the guy, but right now it's Gradkowski's job to lose, is my understanding.
Yeah, that's interesting to look at right now. It is amazing that they've had the kind of production they've had with that question mark at quarterback. The offensive line, much maligned the last couple of years. How well has it played?
It's gotten better, especially the last couple of weeks. And their O-line coach, Jim Mihalchek, has done a good job of getting the right parts and the right guys in the right place. And look, when you're running for over 200 yards in a game, as they have the last couple of weeks, that tells me you're doing something right. Now, they still have the penalties, and they're still the Raiders, and they're still going to make mistakes. But this offensive line group is getting better, and let's face it, the pressure's off them when they're able to run the football. When they've had to rely on the passing game, that's when they've really been taken advantage of. Their tackles are okay. It's just a question of their interior play, which has gotten better the last 2 weeks.
We're talking to Roxy Bernstein, covers the Oakland Raiders, our Bay Area correspondent, as Roxy always bails us out. All right, defensive side of the football. This team, 24 sacks right now, is on pace to have 55 sacks on the year. That's a tremendous total. They're clearly getting after the quarterback, and we talk about it all the time here in the Red Zone, that coverage along with pressure on the quarterback goes hand in hand. If you've got great coverage, it makes it easier to get after the quarterback. What, you know, is it the coverage that's been great and giving them all day to get to the quarterback, or has the pass rush just gotten that much better?
I think the pass rush is better. The coverage has always been pretty good. Let's face it, when you have Nnamdi Asamoah at one corner, it's going to be good. Now, the Chiefs are catching a big break on Sunday because Asamoah's out. He's going to be out with a high ankle sprain. And with the bye week, they're hoping he can be ready for the Steelers in a few weeks. But that is a big concern for the Raiders. Stanford Routes done a nice job on the other side of Asamoah, and that'll be a concern for Oakland going into the game on Sunday. But up front, you know, Lamar Houston's doing a nice job, the rookie out of Texas. They also have the first-round pick, Orlando McClain, a middle linebacker. They picked up Cameron Wimbley from Cleveland. He's done a nice job. He had two sacks in the game against Seattle on Sunday. The Raiders had eight sacks against the Seahawks. Richard Seymour had two. This is a better front seven, but the question going into Sunday is how do they react with the loss of Asamoah for the Kansas City game?
Richard Seymour didn't seem to want to be in Oakland when he first got there last year. What's his mindset now as part of this team?
Well, money has a funny way of doing things, doesn't it, Seren?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's a lot happier. And, look, this team is better. There's no doubt about it. And Seymour, I believe he sees that also, that this Oakland team has a chance. They really believe that they have an opportunity to win the AFC West. As you pointed out earlier, they're two back in the loss column, one in the win column, behind Kansas City. And Tom Cable's not ready to anoint and say, look, we are where we want to be, but we're getting close to where we want to be. And the last 2 weeks have given this team a good indication that they feel that they have the pieces to compete for the division championship. And moving forward, they have to build on it. So this is a team that is headed in the right direction for the first time in a long time.
You mentioned Asamoah going to be out in this football game. Who comes in next? Who's the next guy? And if you were the Chiefs, where do you pick? Well, who do you try to pick on if you go to the pass?
Well, there are some holes in this Raider defense and where to pick. And certainly it's going to come down to protection in the pass. And, you know, Route has been picked on consistently because, let's face it, he's on the other side of Asamoah. That's where the Chiefs will go on Sunday is probably attack those corners and try to capitalize on that. And I would assume the Raiders would adjust because the Raiders will have to make up for that loss. And they may not have as an aggressive a pass rush this Sunday because of that, because they have to overcompensate for not having Asamoah. But at the same time, maybe they'll try to pin their ears back and go after the Chiefs and castle a little bit more just because of that fact. So it's almost a double-edged sword going into the game, and how does this team respond? Because they haven't been in this situation before.
Yeah, it is. It will be interesting. I mean, they're playing a very meaningful football game, both these teams, for a long time. This is not just about, oh, the old days. Hey, today, this game matters for both of these football teams. We're talking to Roxy Bernstein here about the Oakland Raiders. Randy Moss is out there. The Raiders' name comes up. Is there any, you know, just the Raiders name comes up anytime some kind of rebellious or outlaw type player is around. They've been through the Randy Moss ringer once. Would they go down that road again?
It's quite possible. And Tom Cable didn't refute it at all when it was asked about it, that, you know, they would have some interest, but maybe that's just him trying to cover his own rear end if Al decides to go get him. Because it's going to be Al's decision. He doesn't want to look like an idiot. We have no intention to bring in Randy Moss, and Al goes and brings him in. So I'm now this is just me looking into the situation, but he was just asked this question. Maybe he hadn't talked to Al about it yet, and just wanted to make sure that all right, well, if this does happen, well, then I'm covered. It wouldn't shock me, knowing Al Davis and his history, if they went down that road, and it wouldn't shock me if New England went down that road again. He certainly wore out his welcome in Minnesota. And the Raiders, you already know what you're getting with him. And as long as you can deal with it, then you can move forward. And it would be a nice addition for the Raiders. Lewis Murphy's a bit banged up right now. And certainly Darius Heyward-Bey is starting to come into his own, it appears. He's certainly putting up better numbers than he did a year ago. And he's starting to figure it out. They have an outstanding tight end in Zach Miller, who's hobbling a little bit right now. It would not shock me if Randy Moss came back to the Raiders this season.
All right, final four time, Roxy. Four quickies. We'll start with this one. Does Tom Cable ever coach this team in the playoffs?
I'm going to go yes. I believe that he's going to be here for a little while, and I think the Raiders are headed in the right direction.
Okay. What is the Raiders' future in Oakland? They got a stadium? They got to move? What's going to happen?
I think they're here for the long haul. Just if the stadium talks in the works, but I just don't see the Raiders picking up and going back to L.A. or wherever.
Well, are they going to? I mean, with the A's wanting a stadium, the Raiders needing a stadium, the 49ers building a stadium. I mean, that's a lot of construction going on for the Bay Area. I know it's a big city, a lot of cash in that town and a lot of people in that town. They really can do all these different stadium projects?
I think they can. It's, for the Raiders, it's going to be their own for the A's, it'll be their own facility. For the Niners and Raiders, they even talk about the NFL getting involved and doing a joint stadium. I don't see that happening. I don't ever see Al Davis climbing into bed with the 49ers. But I do see at some point a stadium on the horizon for the Raiders and the 49ers.
And in the city of Oakland for the Raiders?
That would be ideal. There is an opportunity. There is some land there for them to go after it. Maybe even do it in the parking lot of the Coliseum and build it next door. But, yeah, if the Raiders get a stadium of their own in the Bay Area, it will be in Oakland.
All right. Who is the Raiders' biggest rival?
I'd have to go. I really think it's Kansas City, to be honest with you. I think their battles over the years, even though the Raiders have the whole California thing going on with the Chargers and, of course, the run-ins with the Broncos, but there's something about Chiefs week that really gets the Raider fans fired up.
Maybe it's because the Chiefs own them.
No. At least recently they have.
I think the Chiefs are like +8 in this rivalry. I'm not sure. I'd have to look up those numbers. All right, and finally, give me your prediction on the game. Give me a score. Who wins and what's the score?
I think the Raiders are going to win. I think that they're starting to gel and play some good football. They're at home. I think that's going to be the big difference in the game. I like the Raiders to win the game 24-17.
Very good. Roxy, great stuff as always. We always appreciate the time. Congratulations on your new little one.
You too.
Thank you. And we will talk to you again here very soon, bud.
You got it, Saran. Thanks, pal.
The Red Zone with Saran Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking, with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com, and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
The NFL season is here.
Carroll's on his feet. Left side angle. Cutback.
And your Kansas City Chiefs are back.
Touchdown! Jamal Charles!
Cheer on the Chiefs all season long at the new Arrowhead Stadium. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at kcchiefs.com, the Arrowhead Stadium box office, or any Ticketmaster location. Head coach Todd Haley and your Kansas City Chiefs are determined and ready for battle, taking it game by game. And you won't want to miss any of the action live. Get your single game tickets now to see the Chiefs take on the Jaguars, Bills, Cardinals, Titans, or AFC West rivals the Broncos and Raiders. Great seats are available now at kcchiefs.com, the Arrowhead Stadium box office, or any Ticketmaster location. Come and get loud and cheer your Chiefs on to victory at the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Saran Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
We continue here in the Red Zone on KCChiefs.com. Saran Petro with you on a Wednesday. Again, our thanks to Roxy Bernstein joining us to break down the Oakland Raiders side of the equation. The Raiders now 4-4 on the year. Spotlight some of the numbers for this football team, some of the stats that you might want to impress your friends with at a dinner party later in the week. Taking a look at Matt Cassel, we've talked about where the quarterback needs to be on the year. Next year, we'll have a great snapshot. We'll be halfway through the year. You can double all the numbers, a little bit more math involved at this point in the year. But right now, If you're scoring at home, Matt Cassel on pace to complete 59% of his passes for 2,734 yards, 23 touchdowns, and only 7 interceptions. And even with the 3 sacks that the Chiefs gave up this past week, still on pace only to be sacked 18 times this year. That is an incredible number, an incredible improvement. Last year, Matt Cassel's numbers, again, 59% completions this year. Last year, 55%. So 4% up. You'd like to see that number go up. I think the low 62.34% is where you'd like it. You'd love to see it be at 67, completing 2 out of every 3, but right now at 59%. 2,700 yards, that's actually down off last year's total, but the rushing numbers are up. It's difficult. There's only so many footballs to go around. Last year he threw for just over 2,900. This year on pace for just over 2,700 yards passing. Honestly, to talk about the team being ready to compete for a Super Bowl, which is where I think this team needs to be, mentally, is not just talking about getting to 500 or getting to the playoffs. Once you get to the playoffs, the goal is to win the Super Bowl. What do they need to do to be a Super Bowl team? One of them is I think they've got to be a little bit more effective in the passing game. And going on the road, in all likelihood, they're going to need to pass the football better. I think the ability is there. They haven't needed to throw the football, so they haven't. But as we said, 5 out of 7 coming up on the road, those passing numbers will probably come up. The yardage will probably come up. If Matt Cassel starts all 16 games, I'll be shocked, stunned, if he doesn't throw for 3,000 yards this year. But you'd like to see that passing yardage go up as they win, but go up because they're going to need to throw the football in the playoffs. Great defenses advance to the playoffs. They're usually really salty against the run. You're going to need to be able to make some first downs with your passing attack as well. But 23 touchdowns and 7 interceptions is a fantastic number. We talked about him taking the numbers up to 24 and 12, that would be a target mark for the Kansas City Chiefs with Matt Cassel. If he could get to 24 TDs and hold the interceptions down to 12, instead, he's lowered the interceptions all the way down to being on pace right now for only 7 INTs on the year. TD's up to 23, so he's right at that pace of getting to the 24 touchdowns. But certainly 23, plenty of TDs when you're only turning it over 7 times. And sacks, last year, Matt Cassel sacked 42 times. This year on pace for only 18 sacks. Great tribute to the offensive line that's playing better football. And also Matt Cassel's ability to get rid of the ball. He's done a better job of, yes, still trying to make plays with his legs when it's there, but also recognizing when it's not. Could still do even better. One of the sacks he took in that game on Sunday was one that probably he's looking to make something happen with his legs. Should have thrown it away. Live to fight another day. Kick a field goal. Punt the football. Give it a shot on second or third down, whatever the case may be. But probably one more sack he could have avoided. But 18 sacks on the year, I think you'll certainly take that pace right now that the Chiefs are at. Matt Cassel doing a much better job at getting rid of the football. His yards per attempt last year, he was averaging below 6 at 5.9 yards per attempt. This year at 6.7. Anything over 8 is great. You'd like to get into the 7s. If there's one thing they could do, maybe push the football down the field a little bit more. With Dwayne Bowe's emergence over the last few games, maybe that takes care of itself. But up almost a yard per attempt is Matt Cassel. The total yards might be down, but the effectiveness of Matt Cassel every time he throws the football, almost a yard better. You'd like to see that number get over 7. I think you'd be satisfied with that, with the way this team is running the football and the improvement we're seeing out of the defense. Get that number over 7, and you feel real good. So far, Matt Cassel on pace, way ahead of pace on sacks and interceptions. I think we talked about getting the sacks down under 25 sacks. He's on pace for 18. Sacks and INTs right there. Touchdowns right at about the pace you'd like. A little bit behind in the yardage, a little bit behind in the completion percentage, but certainly time to make up for that. Of course, the end goal is to win games, not win the stat battle, but the stats are an indicator of how you go about winning the game. That's one of the things that's interesting to see. Jamaal Charles currently on pace for over 1,500 yards. Thomas Jones over 1,200 yards on the ground. A phenomenal pace. Right now, if you're scoring at home, as I said, over 190 yards per game. The Chiefs, as a team, are pacing for 3,047 yards rushing on the year. 3,047. Only one team since they went to 16 games has rushed for more yards than the Kansas City Chiefs have in that time. That was the 1978 New England Patriots. They averaged 198 yards per game. I'd be shocked if the Chiefs can keep up this pace. I'd be stunned if they can get beyond the 198 per game that New England had. But think about it, only one team in the history of the NFL. Well, at least and since they've gone to the 16-game schedule, has averaged more per game than the Chiefs are right now. If they can keep it up, we will see. It's a phenomenal rushing total. We talked a little bit about the strength of schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs so far. Let's look at it. One thing that can't be denied, the Chiefs have done something Dick Vermeil talked about, keep losing teams losing. The Chiefs are 5-2, and their five victories have come against teams that are collectively 11-27. Chargers, Browns, Jaguars, and Bills. Chargers, Browns, 49ers, Jaguars, and Bills. Collectively 11-27, that's just a .289 win percentage. So when they face bad teams, they've won the games. You can only play the teams you face. They've won the games. Their losses to the Indianapolis Colts and Houston Texans, collectively those two, 9-5 on the year. That's a .643 winning percentage. The two best teams record-wise that they have faced, they have lost to, but played very tough in those games. We'll see what happens. Curious about how the schedule shapes up the rest of the way. It got a little saltier when you took Buffalo off the future schedule and put it into the win category. That really lowers the win percentage of the teams they've beaten when you've got an 0-7 team in there. Take that 0-6 off of what was their remaining schedule. The Chiefs' remaining schedule now, collectively their opponents, 31-38. That's a .450 winning percentage, .449. So still, losing record, 7 games below .500 is their opposition right now. The schedule still looks very favorable for the Chiefs from a wins and loss standpoint. But I still say 5 out of 7 on the road, this is a murderous stretch. If the Chiefs can go 4-3, come home at 9-5, that would be great. Anything beyond that, absolute Shangri-La. You got to be thrilled if you come home better than 4-3 in these next 7 games. 4-3 brings you home at 9-5. You come home with a 5-2 record and they're sitting at 10-4 with 2 football games at home against Tennessee and Oakland. Feeling real good. You're at least 11-5 and got a great shot at being 12-4. Now you're talking about not only a home playoff game, but maybe a bye week. For you playoff fans, you playoff geeks, want to know where the Chiefs are sitting right now? If the playoffs were today, the Chiefs have a home game, they're division champs, of course, and would have a home game against the wild card New York Jets. Your 1 seed, the New England Patriots, your 2 seed, the Baltimore Ravens, they would each get a bye week. The 3 seed, the Indianapolis Colts, the 4 seed, the Chiefs. Chiefs would take on the Jets, who are the 5 seed right now. The Colts would take on the Steelers, who are the 6 seed. If the Chiefs won, and if the seeds held out, in other words, if the 3 and the 4 win, the Chiefs would then go on the road to take on the New England Patriots in the second round of the playoffs, in the divisional round of the playoffs. The Colts would go to the Baltimore Ravens for a road game. If the Steelers would win and the Chiefs would win, the Chiefs would then go to the Baltimore Ravens and the Steelers would go to the New England Patriots. That's your playoff picture as it sits here today. But keep in mind that playoff picture will change a lot. New England at 6-1. And then the rest of the 5 teams at 5-2 comes down to divisional champions and tiebreakers. We've run them. Just trust us on that. We've run them. And right now, that's what your playoff picture would look like. Right now, today, the Chiefs, obviously, in the playoffs as AFC West champions. The 4 seed because they lost to the Colts head-to-head. And they take on the New York Jets in the opener in a game here at Arrowhead Stadium. I like the Chiefs' chances in that game. I give them a 50-50 chance. Jets are a good football team, but similar to them, want to play game management, run the ball, and play defense. Let's see how much better this defense can get here as we get towards the second half of the season. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chief Safety Donna Washington. He's next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game and the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome back here in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you, and we're going to talk a little secondary here with the Kansas City Chiefs. Donald Washington, Chief Safety, joins us here in the Red Zone. Donald, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. What's the atmosphere like for a football team that's 5-2 here in the NFL?
You know, it's good. When you're winning, winning cures a lot of things, and we're just taking it 1 week at a time. We got last week behind us, and now we're focused on with the Raiders.
I know you haven't been in the NFL for, you know, years and years and years, but this is your second year. You were a part of a team that went 4-12. How different is it, being in the midst of a 4-12 year and a year that at least so far has started off very productive?
It's like night and day from last year to this year, man. It's a lot more fun. You know, obviously winning takes care of that, but you know, more togetherness, I think, playing for each other, and we're winning. Like I said, winning takes care of a lot of things, and you know, just another year under my belt in the situation and kind of knowing what to expect and you know how to conduct myself as a professional. Still learning, but you know, progressing with that. And like I said, man, it's just a lot more fun, and I think that's a lot of that has to do with winning.
What is the thing? I talk to everybody, and everybody talks about that first year and how big of a transition it is. Well, what are some of the things? What's the biggest thing that jumps out at you that's different than college that makes that transition so tough?
Away from the football side of it, I think it's just managing all the time, the free time that you have, you know, the money. There's a lot that comes with being a professional. You know, the spotlight you're under is even bigger. You know, there's more eyes on you. So just handling myself as a professional every day, you know, make sure I'm at work on time, not late to meetings, just things like that. And not saying that I did those things in college, but like I was saying, when you step up a level, you know, you have to step up your game. And it goes from on the field to off the field. So.
What about the off-season program? I mean, I've heard a lot of guys talk about, hey, you spend all that time after your last year in school getting ready for the combine, working out for the combine, and then, you know, you do so much training as far as it is for those different events. Then you turn around and, okay, now you're supposed to do football drills, and you're not really sure what those drills are going to be in the NFL, and that your body really is kind of physically tired that rookie year from all the working out you do at the end of the football season, the college season, getting ready for the combine, going through the combine. Then, you know, you turn around and you got the workouts with the team already and then off to training camp. Have you noticed that you're physically fresher, physically more ready to go now having a regular NFL offseason?
Not so much as like being in condition. I think the biggest thing with that is having to switch your focus. You know, like now, I know in the off season now, all my training is for the next season. Whereas when you're coming out of college, you have, like you're saying, you have to get prepared for the draft or the combine, and then all these workouts. And these are different type of drills. Like preparing for the combine is like preparing for a track meet. You know what I mean? You're trying to get explosive. You're trying to get numbers, whereas now in the off-season training, you know your body, you know how to prepare your body for a long season and those type of things. So you kind of got a regimen as far as your off-season training goes. And when you're talking about the combine training, I mean, that's just getting after it.
Yeah, we're talking with Donald Washington, chief safety here in the program in the red zone. Donald, how about making the change from corner to safety? How big a transition has that been for you?
Honestly, it started off kind of rough, just from a mental aspect of it. Just the way you see things from a corner and from a safety, you gotta train your eyes in a different manner. You know, at corner you're just mainly focused on one guy. And at safety, you kind of got to know what the guys around you are doing. Not saying at corner you don't, but, you know, it's you're training your body to go through different habits when you're playing safety and corner. And the transition, like I was saying, it started off rough, and now we're into the season, and I've got a couple weeks up under my belt playing, and I'm still learning the position, but I feel like I'm getting better.
Do you feel like a safety now?
I feel like a defensive back, a football player. I mean, I feel like I can, I don't know, I feel like one of my strengths is my versatility. I feel like I can do a lot of things.
And that's one of the things that Romeo Crennel defenses have been known for. And one of the things he's, you know, I remember Eugene Wilson playing for him in their Super Bowl years down in New England, a kid who played, like you, played corner in the Big Ten at Illinois. They put him in at safety. I mean, he seems to really like to have good coverage guys everywhere. If you're going to be a D-back, you better be able to cover somebody. I would think that your corner skills actually come in pretty handy playing safety for Romeo Crennel.
Yes, sir. I mean, you pretty much hit it right on the nose. I think not just in Romeo's, but just in general, to be successful, you have to be able to do more than one thing. And I think that's the thing we got here. We got a lot of guys who can move around. It helps our team.
How about playing with Emmett Thomas? He's a guy that's a Hall of Famer, a Kansas City Chief, a guy who obviously played the position at the highest level you can play it. That Hall of Fame ring says it all. What kind of knowledge have you been able to glean from Emmett Thomas?
I mean, just from him being in the room, man, he brightens up the room. He's a great guy. He's a great teacher. He's a great leader. And he just teaches you how to just go out and be a football player. You know, not over coaching, but be able to take some coaching and, you know, but at the end of the day, just being able to react.
I'm not asking you, like for specific schemes or anything. I'm just curious, is it a mindset? What is it that Romeo Crennel defenses, and it's very true this year with this team as well, they always rank better statistically in points allowed than they do yards allowed. I mean, it's like, you know, it seems like he has bottled up the secret to, okay, we might give up some yards, but they're going to be the yards that don't turn into points. How is that guy so good at keeping teams out of the end zone, maybe giving them a few yards here or there, but not letting teams get in there in the end zone? Because you guys have been great as far as limiting the amount of points you put on the board.
I think that's a tribute to the defense and to the team. Just trying to keep that mentality of, hey, teams are going to get yards on us, but at the end of the day, if we keep them out of the end zone, we'll still give ourselves a chance. And Coach Crennel does a good job at preaching that to us, and so does the other coaches. And the guys are buying into it. You know, the way a team is going to beat you is by scoring points, not by racking up yards. So, you know, if we can keep them out of the end zone, we have a good chance.
The playoffs, how much is that talked about by you and your teammates?
I mean, we're taking it one week at a time. Right now our focus is on the Raiders. We had a decent practice today, and we're going to try to come back and do the same thing tomorrow.
How important is it to get some wins on the road? You guys are 4-0 at home and 1-2 on the road. You haven't had that many opportunities, and you played very well, played two tough games to the end with the Colts and Texans in the loss, and had a second-half shutout defensively against the Cleveland Browns in your road win. How important is it for this team to continue to progress as far as being a good road team?
Being good on the road, being good at home, I think – the focus of our team is just getting better every day in every game. Just play better than we did the last week. And whether we're at home or on the road, if we just continue to get better, I think we have a chance. When we play together and we don't beat ourselves, we're pretty good.
Do you keep an eye on what the other teams in the AFC West are doing?
I mean, it's hard not to notice it, but the main focus is on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, but it does catch your eye when you see San Diego.
It definitely catches your eye, man. You can't help but to see it.
Yeah. How about the rivalry with the Raiders? I mean, you're fairly new to it, but it's one that goes back a long way and means a lot to Chiefs fans. What does it mean to the guys in that locker room?
Man, guys are amped up, and I think guys are amped up. More importantly, just because we have another opportunity to get better and to go out and play. Yes, the rivalry between the Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs has been, you know, it's been going forever. And last year was my only experience with it. And I think that this year there'll be a lot more behind this game just because of the standing of the two teams. And you know, Oakland, they're turning things around. They've had a couple good weeks, and we've gotten things rolling over here. So I think there's two confident teams going to play each other, and that's what's going to bring the game out.
They've scored 92 points the last 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
You know, they look that good on film.
They're good.
Yeah,
they're a good team.
Yeah, they got a lot of offensive weapons.
Yes,
how much does it help practicing against your running game? You got the best running game in the league. How much does that help you guys on defense going up against those guys?
I mean, regardless of who you're going against, I think in this league anybody can beat you. So you just have to play technique football, and if everybody on the defense just do 1/11th of our job, I think we'll be good against any running game.
We're talking to Donald Washington, chief safety here in the red zone. Donald, my final four quickies. You just tell me the first thing that pops into your head. And I'll start with this. Where does Ohio State finish nationally this year?
Top 10.
Number one? Number five?
Top 10. This is crazy for college football season, man. You can't call it. You can take 1 week at a time, but they'll be in the top 10.
All right. Do you like or dislike Nebraska headed to the Big Ten?
I like that. I think it helps our conference. Just another prestigious team coming in with a great history. It just makes the conference more competitive.
What's the best part about playing safety?
Best part about playing safety, you get to come up and hit.
I like that. That's good. That's a good answer. All right, and finally, if you weren't playing football, what would you be doing right now?
Playing basketball.
I like this. Can you hoop a little?
I can do a little something. You know everybody has hoop dreams, but
yeah.
I can do a little bit.
All right, good to know. Hey, Donald, we really appreciate the time. It was great talking to you. Continued success with the season, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, sir. You have a good one.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game.
And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
All right, wrapping things up here in the Red Zone, Soren Petro with you at KCChiefs.com. If you want tickets to the games, still a lot of football to be played here at Arrowhead, four games, plus playoffs looming the way things are now. We went over the playoff schedule a little bit earlier, Chiefs home game. If the playoffs were to start today, you can get your tickets right here at the website. Just go to the icon that says tickets up there at the upper bar, hit it, the drop-down occurs. Get everything you need for tickets to the remaining four football games here for the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs at Raiders, that's the next step for the Chiefs. The Raiders, a team that has really turned around their season. At 2-4, people were talking about Tom Cable, the head coach, maybe being fired. At 4-4, after two dominating wins, people talking about the Raiders being one of the hottest teams in the NFL. And statistically, they're probably even better than their overall record. They're one of the few teams that has both a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. They're number 8 overall in total offense at 366 yards per game, and number 9 overall in total defense. Those numbers are better than the Chiefs in both statistics. The Chiefs number 12 in offense and in defense, sitting at number 16. Now, how do the Raiders do it? Well, they can run the football themselves, 169 yards per game. They're second best in the NFL, and that's an incredible total in itself. Should be good enough to lead the league, but they're well behind the Chiefs, over 20 yards a game behind the Chiefs right now as the second best rushing team in the NFL, 20th in passing, just under 200 yards per game. Collectively, as I said, number 8 overall in offense. Defensively, they're number 9, 310 yards a game they're allowing, fourth best against the pass. Their strength is their pass defense. One of the real keys, Nnamdi Asamoah, their all-pro, all-world, highly paid corner. Sprained ankle last game. We'll see how healthy he is. Roxy Bernstein telling us about the latest on his injury, but we'll see what he brings to the table in the football game against the Kansas City Chiefs. But that is no doubt any loss from him is a big loss for the Oakland Raiders. Their pass defense, one of the best in the NFL. And getting it done with the pass rush. You think about pass defense, everybody immediately thinks of the secondary. You think of Asamoah and their defensive backs. That's a good thing to think about. But even more important, their ability to get to the quarterback. Try a 24-sack total for the Oakland Raiders right now. That puts them on pace for 55 for the season. 55. We've talked about it many times. The average Super Bowl team since 2002 averages about 43 sacks in a year. So they're well ahead of that pace. They're a tremendous pass rush football team. The Raiders on pace for 55 sacks. A big part of that, the addition of Richard Seymour last year. Some people scratching their heads as to why the Pats would bail. Other people scratching their heads as to why the Raiders would give up high draft picks to get an aging defensive lineman or defensive lineman hitting the 30-year-old mark. But their defensive front has been absolutely outstanding this year as they have really pressured the quarterback. 55 sacks and something that makes them difficult to deal with. Something we talked about with the San Francisco 49ers when we previewed that football game earlier this year. 55 sacks they're on pace for, 24 on the year already, but not really just one guy to look at. Right now, Matt Shaughnessy, 5 sacks on the year. Cameron Wimbley, 5 sacks on the year. Richard Seymour, 4.5 sacks on the year. They're doing it as a group. There's not just one guy you have to target. You have to target multiple guys as they've done an excellent job of getting after the quarterback. That really explains why their pass defense has been so good, because they don't give you a lot of time to throw. Big challenge for the offensive line this week for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then offensively, you know, the stars to look at are Darren McFadden, who's emerged with almost 700 yards rushing, 688 on the year, averaging 5.5 a pop, throwing in another 217 in the passing game, and a tremendous receiver, did a great job. Remember, ran the Wildcat at Arkansas, but also a very good receiving running back. He's averaging 11 yards per catch in the passing game. So don't forget about Darren McFadden when Jason Campbell drops back to throw. And Campbell has been the guy of late. Maybe he is settling in. Now, Al Davis was reportedly comparing him to Jim Plunkett in the offseason. Wasn't that early when he was benched. Maybe he's getting to be that now as he is settling in as the quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. I went through those team statistics, and I gave you the yardage totals, where they rank and where they're better than the Kansas City Chiefs. Their biggest weakness, though, is on that defensive side of the ball when it comes to stopping the run. Great pass defense, 26th overall in rush defense, giving up 127 a game. So the number 26 rush defense against the Chiefs, number one rushing offense. If the Chiefs can run the ball, that really limits the Raiders' ability to get out on the field and do anything offensively, and it keeps you away from what is their strength, pass rush and secondary. Running the football as it's been all year will be absolutely critical for the Kansas City Chiefs. Points allowed. This is something that's important. We've talked about all year how Romeo Crennel's defenses in New England always graded better in points allowed than yards allowed. They were very good in yards allowed, with the exception of that 0-1 year, his first year. But they were very good in points allowed that year even. But very good in yards allowed, even better in points allowed. That continues. We mentioned the Chiefs' defensive rank at number 16. Their points allowed rank, however, at number 5. The Chiefs giving up just 17 a game. The Raiders, 15th in that category, giving up 21 points per game. Points scored, the Chiefs offensively, 11th in the NFL at 23 per game. The Raiders doing a great job in scoring points. The last 2 weeks have certainly helped them. You score almost 60 and 33 in your last two games. You find yourself sitting at number 4 in points scored. Raiders scoring 26.5 points per game. So it's going to be a tough, tough football game. The Raiders, red hot, playing great football, and two back-to-back games. They come home to host the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs trying to keep their streak alive. Chiefs haven't lost in Oakland since 2002. Have not lost in Oakland since Rich Gannon, who we had on as a guest of the Red Zone last week. Not since Rich Gannon was calling the shots have the Chiefs lost in Oakland to the Raiders. They'll try to keep that streak alive on Sunday. We'll see if they can keep it going. I want to thank everybody who helped us out here in the Red Zone. I want to thank Brad Kubander, Brad Young, our man Adam Pellegrino, and, of course, Curtis Siebold for helping put together the Red Zone today. I want to say thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you next week here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to the Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.